Welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
No, I'll tell you what's going on, Shane. We got one hell of a mailbag to jump into here. It's been a little while since we've done the mailbag. Got some great questions. Anybody wants to throw us a donation? Totally optional, not obligated. But if you throw us a donation, we'll ask your question too. So I'm pretty fired up, man. How are you?
You know, I had a good day until I went to the golf course, played a terrible, terrible round of golf. I come home. I'm grilling some chicken, of all things. I'm trying to be healthy, Mike. I fire up the grill. I throw chicken on there. I come back out. It is redlined. I mean, it's beyond 700 degrees. There is black smoke coming from this thing. I felt like I was in the movie Backdraft when I was trying to open it up, man. My chicken is just totally destroyed. Of course, I ate it, you know, because I'm fat. But now I got black stuff in my teeth. It's just been a terrible go up to this point. I've got no more hair left on my hands. But you know what, Mike? We're coming up on the weekend. Need it. Love it. Looking forward to it. And it's one of the last weekends without college football. So there's the silver lining.
Yeah, you were just telling me how it's been a bad weekend. You said that off air. I didn't know it was because of the chicken. But I'm glad it was not something a little bit more serious than that.
I almost died out there, Mike, getting those chicken breasts off.
You know how you could you could be more alive this football season, Shane.
How's that?
By heading over to mybookie.ag. That's our presenting sponsor. Once again, this football season, you want to help the show out, go on over to mybookie.ag. That's the website. Or just Google My Bookie, it'll come right up, and put in an initial deposit with that promo code SEC. It's not on my screen. SEC, 100% deposit match this football season. Help us out. Become a great cousin. Head on over to My Bookie. You know what?
Absolutely. Get over there. Help us out. Help yourself out. It's free money. You know, I told you, my wife, she asked me about this. She says, I don't understand why it's so successful. It's like, it's successful because when you put a deposit in, you get 100% of that back. She goes, they're just giving away money. I was like, that's what I've been trying to tell you the whole time. It's just, I didn't tell her what I did with my free money.
And they're also giving away free gifts, Shane, at the Tennessee Legend Distillery.
Woo. Hell yeah. There it is. Come on, cuz. I hope some folks made it to the Smoky Mountains this weekend, because I tell you what, I was in a lot of traffic, so I know there had to be some cousins up there. Be sure to make sure that one of your stops is over here at Tennessee Legend Distillery. It's the first place you'll see. Soon as you pass the wilderness, soon as you pass Smoky Mountains, if you went to Target, you went too far, stop there at Tennessee Legend Distillery. Tell them the cousin sent you. Not only are you going to get gifts, but you're also going to get a massive discount. But forget about that. It's about the time that you have tasting, brother. It's one of my favorite things to do in the Smoky Mountains. And if you're saying, hey, I'm not in the Smoky Mountains, but I still would like to try some of this brown liqueur, you can go down to your package store and you can say, hey, you know what we need in here? Tennessee Legend Distillery.
You know how I know they're the perfect partner for us, Shane?
How's that?
By your redneck description, directions, you know, you hit Target, you went damn too far. You hit the big barn, you got to take a left to get there. You know what?
If you're in the area, you know exactly where I'm talking about. So, hey, I'll be over there next Friday too. So if you guys are wanting to hang out, come in there. I think it'll be around 7 o'clock. I'll be at Tennessee Legend Distillery, the one that's the one I just gave you directions to. So hopefully I'll see some cousins there.
Yeah, and you hit up Target on your way out.
Yeah.
Hey, shout out Michael Dunlap, Shane. He just became a member to the channel. Michael, welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
We appreciate you, buddy. Gunner's back, Shane, with another.
Oh, come on, Gus.
Gifted membership. He gifted Barrett Taylor. Barrett, welcome
to the family.
Appreciate you.
Gunner. I called him Guz. Oh, Guzzin.
Hey, shout out Tyler Walker. I'm trying to throw up his, here we go. Getting excited for football. Go Dawgs. Yeah. Beat the hell out of everyone. I love that. Our number one dog, Shane, JR. JR's back.
Legend, cousin JR has done it again.
Hey, this time, Shane, he gifted Jonathan Jeffries. Jonathan,
welcome to the family.
The family.
Thank you, cuz.
Oh, man. I just want to give this guy a shout out, Shane. He didn't gift or anything.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to pressure him to do it, but I just saw his username.
Yeah.
Slap Nuts RC. He says, good evening, Slap Nuts. So appreciate you. Maybe we got our first question here. Shout out Alex Wood, $5. Shane, you ain't having a good day when you switch from Coors to Ultra. You are in a bad way, cuz.
I know. Here's the thing. I was trying to lose weight, and and they're not a sponsor. So I thought maybe they would be, but they're not. So I'm probably going to switch back to Silver Bullet because I don't think it's that many calories difference. This thing says 95 calories. I think Coors is maybe 25 more. I mean, me literally doing this podcast burns 25 calories. So, you know, you're right. I think I should probably go back to the Bullets.
I think it's really just depends on how many you're drinking. You know, if you're doing 10 in a sitting, you know, maybe we do go with the Ultra.
Yeah.
But if we're doing two or three,
yeah,
dude, I think you're fine with the Silver Bullet.
And it's funny because, like, me and Mike, we got our fitness rings, you know, and somebody's like, damn, Shane, you're always closing your move ring. I'm like, just me being alive closes my move ring, just having the watch on, you know.
Hey, shout out our buddy Liquid. Shane, he gifted a membership, and
you
ain't going to believe who he gifted it to.
It better not be Nerd Gator.
Slap Nuts, welcome to the family. Old Slap Nuts there. We appreciate
that could
you.
Be a gator. That sounds like a gator.
And then Steve it up. Shane, he's back. He's fired up for some football, Bama football. Da-da-da-da.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steve it up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Steve it up. He gifted Zach Jackson. Zach,
Welcome to the family.
We appreciate you. Oh, man.
We got Slap Nuts and Pickle Nips in here. Come on, baby. Now it's a party.
And he gifted us $5, too, for giving him a shout-out there for old Slap Nuts. Look at his emoji. Is pretty awesome, too.
Damn. Man, how's that not get flagged, you know?
Hey, shout-out Robert Jenkins, Shane. Man, cousins are in a gifted mood. Robert Jenkins gifted a membership.
Hell yeah, guys.
To da-da-da-da, Raphael Solario. Solario, hope I didn't butcher that. Raphael,
welcome to the family.
And then, man, they just keep going. Shout out. My daughter and I are visiting Knoxville for a campus tour in October and staying for the game on Saturday. What advice do you have for game day? So, visiting Knoxville, Shane.
Yeah, get early. Get there early for sure because it's going to be an experience. I mean, I wouldn't even mind coming in. I don't know where we're coming from, but a day early. You know what I'm saying? And maybe, you know, you're right here at the Smoky Mountains. Check it out. Tennessee Legend Distillery. Tell them the cousin sent you. But there's so much to do around here. But old Knoxville, I like it down there. I like going down to Calhoun's and just experiencing it. Because if you're going to go to the University of Tennessee, you need to realize there's a lot of walking, a lot of hills, and it is definitely worth it because there's a lot of orange love up there.
Yeah, fair to say, Shade, that Calhoun's on the river. It's right by the stadium. That's kind of like a place everybody tells you to go. The food, not the best. It's not awful by any means, but it's more about the experience, about being on the river. It's right next to the – we're very close to the stadium. That's a go-to. Again, like you said, maybe get there a day early if you can. Yeah. For me, I love Market Square, which is in that old city area that Shane was talking about. Now, that is a little bit – it's not walking distance from the stadium, but it's a very, very short drive. I would hit up Market Square if you got time to get over there, take it all in. But, man, you can't beat Tennessee's campus and the tailgating there. You know,
I mean, I had that. What's that? Is it Tupelo chicken? Tupelo something?
Ooh, Tupelo we had honey. That. Let's go.
I've had the soccer taco place. That was good. Now, Alyssa, she was on. Remember, she was talking about the ice cream place over there, Cruz Farms.
Yeah.
Fantastic ice cream spot. So, yeah, plenty of food. I mean, we're big for a reason, so, you know, I mean, we know how to cook and eat over here in Knoxville.
We know what we're talking about, trust me. And you know who else does, Shane?
Who's that?
Colin the Coxman.
The Coxman.
He gifted a membership, Shane, to Stone H. Stone,
welcome to the family. Thank you, cuz.
Appreciate you, Colin. Oh, man, Jordan B. gifted a membership, Shane. Man, these cousins, they're in the given mood. Uh-oh, I just had it here. He gifted to Caden.
Welcome to the family.
The
family's getting together, Andy. Ready for some football, aren't we?
Huh? As is Seamus O.
That may be a trick. Let me look at it real quick. You about to say something bad? No, I think you're good.
Seamus.
How do you say that? Oh, Sybil? I can't. Nah, I'll butcher that.
Good luck with that one. He just became a member. Seamus, welcome.
Welcome to the family.
And then Brandon Byers. He's a member now. Ready for some Mizzou football. Always something to prove. STP.
Hell yeah.
And then shout out the legends, Tennessee Legends.
There
Distillery,
they are.
Shane. They gifted a membership to Brad. Brad.
Welcome to the family.
We're just going to do an hour of welcome to the family here. Hey, shout out Ashley. Oh, I'm trying to do it on YouTube. Ashley Schaefer, BMW, Shane, $10. Taking the family to Pigeon Forge this fall. What breakfast joint is a must on Shane's list, not named Cracker Barrel?
Good question. And Pigeon Forge is, I mean, we're like the pancake capital of the world. And putt-putt. I don't know what it is, but we've nailed it. We've got them both. There's a little spot called Reagan's, which is really nice because it's a buffet style. And thing I like about buffet, it's like you can go back. You can get your money's worth. But my favorite is unfortunately not in Pigeon Forge. It's going to be in Gatlinburg, which is a little bit further. And that is the Pancake Pantry. Is the absolute legend for pancakes. And they're open till like 2 o'clock. And if you get there early enough, like before 9, you can park on the street right in front of the restaurant. So definitely check it out if you can.
You can't give them one spot in Sevierville?
Well, Pigeon Forge? That is in Sevierville. Pigeon Forge, I just told them Reagan's is the one. It used to be called Broken Egg, but now it's another great place. I'm not a quiche guy, but if you go to the Old Mill right across the street, they got a little cafe there. It's fantastic, great place for lunch. But the group that I went with last time, everyone said, you got to try the quiche. So, of course, I didn't try the quiche, but I probably should have. That's another spot I would definitely check out. If you're coming up there, I don't like chains. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Chain restaurant, like, don't do that. Don't do a Denny's. Don't do a Cracker Barrel, as much as I love them. You know, try something unique to that area. That Old Mill restaurant is fantastic.
Schaefer's not going. He's saying staying in Sevierville.
Yeah, well, come over to the house. I'll take you around, Schaefer. We'll ride. I'll find you a pancake spot.
All right, one more, Shane. Oh, man. Peekaboo. Peekaboo? Peekaboo. Welcome
to the family.
All right, I think they stumped you on that food, Shane. We got a mailbag here. Oh, and what hell of a mailbag. So let's jump into it. Shout out Jeez Louise. I see him in the comments here. He had a great question, Shane, and I know you're going to like this one.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, and shout out. So we recorded a couple hours ago with Chris Lowe, ESPN, college football writer, and I asked him a lot about Boo Carter. So that's a little tease for tomorrow's podcast. But Jeez Louise wants to know about Boo Carter as well, Shane. With all the talk, you know, Tennessee needs these receivers. They're banged up. Boo Carter was supposed to be playing offense and defense.
Yeah.
Jesus asking, is Boo being calculated in how critical it is to get him back on the field? And basically, I think what he's really trying to ask is, did Boo Carter just shoot himself in the foot when it comes to playing both ways? Because how in the hell can you get prepared when you're not even fully on the team right now?
Yeah, I'm right there with you, because I feel like when Coach was first talking about Boo's arrival to campus, somebody asked this question about the offense, and I've never heard him turn a question down so quick in my life. So I think it'd be an absolute miracle if you see Boo on the offensive side, at least within the first 5 weeks, unless it's just a designated wide receiver screen or reverse or something like that. I mean, obviously he's a freak athlete. That's why he plays special teams, and you give him enough space, he's going to do some special things. But yeah, I'm not expecting too many routes ran from Boo this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think he just cost himself all that by not whatever the hell he was doing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely wasted time. But I say all that to say this. If you've been keeping up with that wide receiver room, which is completely banged up, we may see Boo quicker than we would like, maybe.
He may have to start both ways, you know what?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, well, I can't believe you forgot this one. Shout out Cousin Jonathan. He says, the best breakfast in the area is Dollywood cinnamon bread.
Dude, you can't go wrong with cinnamon bread. I can't explain it. I love cinnamon rolls. I'm not supposed to.
I've never had it.
Cinnamon bread? Oh, my gosh.
I mean, from Dollywood. I've never had the Dollywood one.
And be careful if you go into Dollywood. There's two places to get cinnamon bread. The first one is right there at the entrance. A lot of people think that's where you should go. That's not the right place. Go up by the wheel. That's where they're making it, and you can get it right out of the oven. So, yeah, trained professional with cinnamon bread.
Okay. Hey, another trained professional on this show, Shane. Shout out Michael Riley, big-time Gator. He's an official cousin. All of the official cousins get their questions answered on the YouTube channel. Greatest offensive coordinator in SEC history. Greatest defensive coordinator in SEC history. This was a tough one, Shane, because there's a lot of good coaches.
Yeah.
Now, can I cheat? I don't think I can, because
you're not going to pick a head coach, right?
Well, that's what I was about to do. Yeah. I was going to say Steve Spurrier down in Florida. And obviously South Carolina as well. But when he got to Florida, he completely changed the conference with his fun and gun. I mean, it used to be 3 yards and a cloud of dust, and he brought shotgun passing game to the SEC. So to me, I think he's the greatest offensive innovator, probably the best innovator the SEC has ever seen. Hmm. But it's fine if you want to say can't include a head coach. How about I'm kind of cheating here too, Shane. Kirby Smart, but at Bama, defensive coordinator. Yes, Nick Saban, greatest coach of all time, but they had their best success when old Kirby was down there as defensive coordinator.
Man, that's tough. I mean, this is probably I need to really do some research, you know.
Shane gets these questions in real time, just so everybody knows.
So, I mean, I'm going through a couple names.
How about Lane Kiffin?
Lane Kiffin.
At Bama.
I think I'm more real time. So the furthest I'm going to go back is probably on the defense, because I really love the chief, like prime chief, not tail end chief. Because when he was at Tennessee the first few years, and that's John Chavis, I just felt like he was that team. He was the heart and soul of that thing. And
here's a great one from Sven, best offensive coordinator ever. The Pirate. He was at Kentucky for a year.
Tough to argue with that. Lane Kiffin, I think, is a good one. I do think that Sarkisian is starting to get into that little bit of that, you know, because he was a coordinator way before he was a coach, and very successful. So, I'm just kind of torn on that one. That's a loaded question, because if you look at each fan base, they all got one or two coach or coordinators that were just out of this world.
How about I got two more for you?
Yeah.
Cliff Kingsbury, A&M. It was short-lived, and maybe it was more Manziel than anything.
Yeah.
But A&M, when they came in, Cliff Kingsbury was like, good Lord, this is a revelation.
Yeah.
And as soon as he left, the whole thing, I mean, of course, Johnny Manziel left too, but the whole thing collapsed. And hell, the fact that he's, you know, went to the NFL, I think that speaks highly of his reputation. He's just one that came to mind. And then I also like Dave Aranda at LSU.
Yeah.
They ended up winning a national championship. He was always a really outstanding defensive coordinator. So those are just some that came to my mind.
I like Liquid here. Dan Mullen. I mean, that's another one that just, I mean, say what you want. He made Mississippi State relevant. So, again, I think it's kind of skewed because of the success or lack thereof. And I can't even say that because Florida, that they were actually a lot better, I felt like, with Dan Mullen than they are right now. So,
shh, you're not allowed to say that.
I'm sorry. My bad. Too early.
Even though it's true. All right. Official cousin, Cheesy Scrum, Shane. He's an Oklahoma fan, so this is a, so of course he's going to ask about Texas. If Texas starts out 3-2, he says lose to Ohio State, lose to Florida, so that would be beating San Jose, UTEP, and Sam Houston.
Yeah.
What are the odds Texas makes the college football playoff if they start 3-2? And he added, we can hope, can't we?
They start 3-2, then I think that there is 55% chance they make it.
Ooh, 55. I don't know. I think that's way too high because they'd still have Oklahoma on a neutral field. They'd have at Georgia.
Yeah.
They'd have A&M. And yeah. Hell, even sneaky ass Vanderbilt. You got to sweep everybody if you're 3-2.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. I think I'm going to change my number to 28% because there is a chance. And there is still a chance that a 9-3 team down in Austin, whether you like it or not, gets in there, especially if Florida has the success. I mean, if they're beating Texas, there's a chance that they are a top SEC team. Ohio State, odds are they'll probably be undefeated at the end of the season. And then the Georgia Bulldogs kind of in that same boat. So they would say, hey, look at the three that we did lose to and how much it was by. So I still think it's a very low number after you corrected me there.
Yeah, but they're probably not going to be 3-2. So we don't have to worry about that, you know?
But what if they are? I mean, what if they are? Who do we blame? Sarkisian or the Arch? I mean, somebody said we're going to be talking about benching Arch Manning. Who was it that said that?
Our guy Eddie.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
and he's not biased at all.
All right, shout out cousin Cameron Williams, your official cousin. Official cousins always get their questions asked. This one's South Carolina, Shane. Do you feel like this is the year Shane Beamer could shock the SEC and drive the Gamecocks to the top of the SEC and in the playoffs? I'm sold on him, he says.
I think you should be. I really do. I think I really, like, it moved the needle for me when I watched this wonderful Netflix show that my cousin Mike was in. And I really felt like out of all the teams that were showcased, no other coach would I want to play. And I'm trying to do this from like a non, like, obviously I'd go to the University of Tennessee, but when I'm watching this, I'm like, how can you not want to play for this guy? I really do feel like South Carolina has built something special. They've got a Heisman candidate there at quarterback. Potentially, it sounds like they're going to have their running back. This is a team that's coming together at the right time. And for me, it's just getting off the roller coaster, because if you look at Shane Beamer's success the last 4 years, it's been one really good year followed by a bad one. I think we got to pair another 9-10 win season to ultimately make the stamp saying that South Carolina is not only here, but they are going to be a contender moving forward.
Yeah, and it's just kind of crazy, isn't it, that they were at 3-3.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is this program? And then they just get red hot.
Right.
Dude, if they can carry that over, which easier said than done, given the losses they had to the draft, but if they can somehow recapture that magic, South Carolina's going to make the playoff. We just had another shout-out to one of our interviews, Clark Brooks, SEC Stat Cat. He's got Carolina making the college football playoff, and he's a Kentucky fan. So if a Kentucky fan's telling you South Carolina's going to make the playoff, that should tell you something.
Yeah. Of course, I mean, it is Kentucky. But, hey, we got Seamus sending a donation over here. You are too pessimistic sometimes, boys. I want to hear your most positive thoughts on Mississippi State, Kentucky. Damn, here I was just butchering them. Kentucky heading into the season. By the way, it's Seamus. Oh, Seamus. Oh, sorry about that. Shameless.
Wait, so you bashed the team? I was asked while
I reading his read question, it, and then I wouldn't have said it, you know. But
and you said his name.
Seamus is down. Seamus is leaving the family already.
Okay, so something nice. Let's start with state.
Yeah.
I mean, two.
Be nice.
Be nice. Based on talent alone.
Yeah.
I think they should sweep the non-conference.
Okay.
Because I think everybody thinks they're going to get their ass kicked. Did you hear this, Shane? Arizona State made playoff. Well, they played in a damn joke of a league. You know, throw them in the SEC. I'm not saying they would have went 0-8. I know they looked really good against Texas, but they had one hell of a running back. He's gone.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know. I think they should go 4-0 in the non-conference. That's pretty nice, isn't it? Or no?
I mean, that's pretty nice. It's pretty nice when you say it with a question mark behind it. I would say, honestly, it's for me, Blake Shapen taking that big step forward. You know, there was moments last year when we thought, hey, this is a pretty good damn quarterback. And yes, we had a little bit of a seesaw or a carousel, if you will, because of injuries. But I think making this offense the way Jeff Lebby wants to do it, this is an offense that's going to take a massive step forward this year. And because of that, they're going to find themselves in a lot more ball games. Now, what I mean by that, Mike, not necessarily wins, but I do think that there are going to be a couple of SEC teams that are going to be fighting for their damn life to get out of that game. So I'm predicting at least one, potentially two SEC upsets this year.
Hey, shout out.
Not Tennessee, though.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely not.
That's
them.
Like number one on my list if they're going to upset somebody. How about Liquid? He says, say something nice about state. They're not Ole Miss, so there's that.
There's that. That's positive. Anything good about Kentucky?
Yeah, I say it all the time. Mark Stoops sells a hell of a bourbon. I mean, that's it. That's the nicest thing I could say about him. He should have been fired a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. Again, he's saying the right things. The players are just getting back to the big blue wall to, you know, just kind of that hard-nosed defense. Just, it's going to be boring, but it's going to win games. And I feel like a bowl game is definitely in the horizon for Kentucky if they play their cards right.
Yeah, appreciate your $10 from Mr. Sip Shane. He says, Hail State. I'm starting to turn around on Mississippi State now. You know what?
Yeah, I tell you what. I mean, I told you, they're the most passionate fan base. If anybody should get awards, it should be Mississippi State fans, without a doubt.
And then we just got a donation from Jonathan Jeffries. He's mad. He's just like you, Shane. He hates Vanderbilt with a passion, apparently. Mike, you had Vandy winning 8 games. Show your work. Well, we did this. Remember, we did this on the season preview. Mm-hmm. Go check it out. I mean, hell, we did an hour on Vanderbilt. Ooh. But the 8 wins, Charleston Southern right out the gate, Virginia Tech, Georgia State, there's your 3. Utah State's 4.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn, 5. Kentucky, 6. And then 7-8, give me Mizzou, and give me Tennessee. Easy. I mean, how easy was that?
Yeah, we don't have to be positive about Vanderbilt, so there's no way in hell they're winning 8.
I think they could.
No. And after watching this old Pavia magic.
He's out here saying they're going to win the championship.
This arrogant bastard ain't winning shit.
Well, I'm so confused why people are like against that. Why are people against confident quarterbacks? Especially at Vanderbilt.
Not. I shouldn't be.
Where they've literally had nothing there. We never talk Vanderbilt. They're irrelevant.
Right.
Now they're showing signs of life. We're like, shut up. I love that. We could talk about them again.
No, you're right. No, you make good points. But this is why guys like Coach Kirby Smart come out here and say the boring stuff, the coach speak, because he doesn't want to give teams fuel. And that's exactly what Pavia has done, is he's giving them fuel. But you back it up with a win, then shut up. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, if maybe it was just the personal stabs that he took that I don't know. He is just not a likable character anymore.
I like him the more he talks. I guess that's the difference between me and you. You know what?
Yeah, absolutely. You're a shit stir. So,
hey, shout out Zeb Brown. He just became a member. Shane,
all right. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
A&M doesn't have to play Vanderbilt, so I bet Zeb likes Diego. He's right with me.
He's right there with him.
All right, hey, shout out cousin Kyle Lovingood. He's an official cousin. Shane's going to get his question answered. Yes, sir. Which current SEC coach is most likely to win their first conference title in the next 3 years? Ooh, and so you know, I had to think about this one. Because he doesn't specifically say, you know, SEC title.
Right.
He says conference title. So, guys like Sarkisian, he's won it in the Big Ten. DeBoer has won it in the Pac-12. So, I'm not including those guys.
Okay.
I have three that I'm very confident about. And I even have them in order. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah. Yes.
Number one, give me Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss. I think he's done a hell of a job. At Ole Miss, you know, they average seemingly 10 wins a year. They're right on the cusp. And hell, he didn't say, cousin Kyle didn't say at Ole Miss, or, you know, at their current job. So, you know, he could at any point jump to Florida or Bama or LSU or something like that. So I'm very high on Coach Kiffin. And I'm not even saying he's leaving Ole Miss. I don't think he is. But I think he's built Ole Miss into a contender. So they're right there for me.
Yeah.
Number two, I got Josh Heupel.
Oh yeah,
I think he's very close. You could even switch him out with Kiffin. I wouldn't fight you on it. I think they're kind of like 1A, 1B.
Mm-hmm.
Heupel's a hell of a coach. They got everything they need at Tennessee to win big, except maybe a quarterback because he left in the middle of the night. And then how about, I'm very high on Coach Elko at A&M. He's my number three.
Has Coach Kelly won anything? Is he on your
list?
He's
won Cincinnati, I guess.
Because that's the one I would be – that's one I'd be looking at because I do think that this is a big year for LSU.
Well, he won the Big East or whatever it was.
Oh, well, then he's off the list. You didn't tell me he was off the list till just now. That's why I was asking.
Uh-huh.
Jeez. All right, in that case, I'll go – let's go. I've been talking about him. And let's see if I can find him here. There he is, Shane Beamer. Give me Shane Beamer in South Carolina. This is one, we're talking 3 years. We don't know what's going to happen this year. We don't know what's going to happen next year. Hell, Sellers may say, hey, I'm coming back. I want to come back for one more year and build something special. With all that money they now got in Columbia, they may build them a damn football team that could compete with anybody. So, yeah, I'll go with Shane Beamer here.
They may do it this year, Shane. If
exactly.
If Lenore Sellers is like the Heisman winner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, I can't believe you have totally dismissed, though, your first love.
Yeah, I thought about, what if, I was like, what if he goes to Florida? I'm not saying he can't do it in Mizzou, but I feel like, man, I just need to, I want to see like a quarterback, you know, and I'm not saying Bo can't do it, and I'm not saying that Sam Horn can't do it, but it just feels like if you're going to be there, we got to have one of these young guys step up, and Drink's definitely on the cusp. When you got 10-win teams, then you've definitely got to be in consideration for a potential championship run.
Yeah, they certainly got the schedule to get there. You know what?
Yeah, absolutely. My only concern with Mizzou is that they are going to, when the schedule gods come out the next two seasons, they're going to go really hard on teams like Missouri and Tennessee, you know?
And Ole Miss, probably.
Oh, without a doubt.
Hey, Cousin Lou's back, Shane. Hook him. Right. He says, pissed off Paul Feinbaum show caller Tanner talking crap about the podcast. Suck it, brother. Hook him, cousins. I don't know what was said, but hell yeah, hook him.
No, I mean, who wants to be called Tanner? He sounds like a loser.
Oh, you know? No.
Huh? He got made fun of. That's why he doesn't like us bullies, Mike. So.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
All right, how about this one from Cousin Sven, Shane? Is Jeff Lebby making a mistake not opening practice at Mississippi State? And Cousin Sven notes, Dan Mullen did this year one in the home opener in 2009. He had 60,000 people show up. Dan Mullen always said, bring the people on board, and we go from there. So, you know, that's something interesting that I didn't think about. You know, Jeff Lebby could really embrace himself with the Mississippi State community there. But really, overall, I think all these coaches could. And I don't really get it. I don't understand why they close everything. Hell, all the NFL, they opened it up. And I don't think it really hurts them. So I think they've just, unfortunately, they've all taken after Saban. They think it makes them more Saban-like or something. I don't know. But
yeah,
they more and more close things off. And I think it hurts the fans. And I don't really think it helps the team in any way.
Yeah, I don't know, unless you're looking week one, Southern Miss, you're having a competitive edge against. And I'm not saying that's the case, and I'm not trying to belittle what they got going on at State, but maybe that has something to do with it, because there is, I believe, an added element if you do something along those lines for a week one opponent. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if Texas did it, because Ohio State. But yeah, I think it's kind of dumb. I feel like these days, because the word's getting out, we still see the videos. We still know people are down there that are reporting this shit. So why exclude the fans in the process?
Shane, if Mississippi State is scared of Southern Miss finding info out,
I know.
We got to kick him out of the damn. Any team, if you're scared of Southern Miss, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I like it.
Hey, shout out Liquid. Wait, what does it say when I would welcome Shane Beamer or Eli Drinkwitz over Billy Napier? I'm having a mini existential crisis over here. What do you think, Shane? Beamer, Drink, Napier? Would you take either one or both over Billy Napier?
Well, I mean, now that he mentions it, Napier may win the Sun Belt next year, so I may have been wrong.
Oh, I think that answers that one. Yep.
Sorry, Liquid. You deserve better down there.
Well, I think they're going to get it this year. Hey, shout out official cousin Brad. Roll Tide Roll. Will you guys go to any games together this season? And if so, which ones?
Well, we got a couple that we're considering. Obviously, the Red River is one of those. I've got an accommodation set up for the Mizzou, Kansas one. I just don't know if that's going to be possible. But and then there was somebody wanting us to potentially do the Oklahoma, Tennessee one out here. So that's just, those are the kind of the ones that are floating in my mind right now. Are you thinking about doing any? I'd love to do at least one this year. I just don't know which game yet.
Yeah, I got my eye on old Red River.
I mean,
that's where I want to be.
Oklahoma does their thing, then we'll make it happen. But I'm not going to go down there if they're 1-3 or whatever.
You mean Texas? Texas 1-3? Hey, shout out official cousin Scott Fitz, Shane. Mizzou's offense was average last year with and now this year with Ahmad Hardy, Kevin Coleman, Bo Prabula, will that be better than the trio last year? This is kind of my main thing with Missouri. I don't see how they're any better on offense. I know we all get excited about transfers, but to me, it's hard to plug and play all these guys and for us to be even better. And for anybody that missed it, I want to read his quote specifically here or exactly. But according to Coach Eli Drinkwitz on the radio today, Shane, I don't know if you saw this. He was asked about the quarterback competition. He says there hasn't been any separation. He said Bo Prabula had a good couple days to open camp. Then Sam Horn has had a good couple days afterwards. So the competition continues there in Columbia.
Huh. Well, that's not encouraging. But I will say, as far as better, I think that's subjective, because last year at times was absolutely horrendous to watch. So getting back to, I feel like, what Drink wants to do, I do get excited about transfers, and not so much Bo as I am like Hardy. I'm bought in. If I could buy stock into a kid, that's one I've got in there. And I feel like that's what we're going to see. A lot more of the ground and pound. It's slow. It's not as flashy as a Luther Burton or a Theo Weiss. But this is a team that's going to thrive on keeping the chains moving and keeping their defense off the field and healthy. So that's recipe for championship. So I feel like that's what we're going to say. So at the end of the day, is the offense better? No, but I do think that there's a chance for them to be a lot more efficient this season.
Now, I think the defense could be certainly better.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not the question. But maybe, Shane, to your point,
yeah,
maybe Mizzou just doesn't want the Purple Bears to know who's starting a quarterback.
A little creativity. What is that? That's an Arkansas team, right?
Central Arkansas.
Yeah. That's going to be the first game. We will be watching these guys. So we'll see who the quarterback is.
Official cousin T.D. Walk, Shane. It's a long one, so bear with me here. He says, I feel like people are sleeping on Gunnar Stockton. Throw up his stats here. I don't know. I mean, I think it's fair. He says, Gunnar's first all-time Georgia high school in passing touchdowns, third all-time in passing yards behind Trevor Lawrence. Also, pretty decent showing last year. Why do more people not recognize him as a true passing threat? Every time I hear about him is he's one run against Texas, but they forgot the beautiful deep ball he threw. That was dropped, of course. So I like how he added that. But here's the deal, Shane. Again, this is not necessarily to critique old Gunner.
Yeah.
But if you're going to sit here and say, well, God, he's first all-time high school passing, yada, 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 you probably don't know. But I'll educate the listeners because I would assume most of them don't know either. Old Gunner, Shane, he played 1A football in Georgia.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, 6A is the highest, then 5A, then 4A, on. He played 1A.
Uh-huh.
I believe he played like the private school leagues too. So 1A private school. Again, I'm not trying to take away from his accomplishments, but you can't.
That's like half the team's family, you know?
You cannot compare that against 6A. Trevor Lawrence, even, he didn't play 6A. He played 5A, so
yeah.
A little different. So, that's not to say he's awful or anything like that. But I will also say, Shay, that we have heard that Kirby quietly tried to get other quarterbacks down in Athens this offseason,
yeah,
like a John Mateer. So, again, does that mean Kirby has no confidence in Gunnar Stockton? Certainly not. But Kirby, and Kirby's done this before. Remember when they had Stetson, they went out and got Jamie Newman, went out and got JT Daniels. And then people forget when Caleb Williams left Oklahoma before he signed with Southern Cal, Georgia was trying to get him. So maybe Kirby just is always trying to get the best possible quarterback he can. But I don't know. His actions say maybe he's not all bought in on Gunnar Stockton either.
Oh, no, they're all in. Gunnar's going to be great. And I feel like the best thing about this Georgia football team is the weapons that Gunnar will have around him. This will be the most talented wide receiver room that you've ever seen in Athens. And I feel like Gunnar is going to, at the end of the season, look like a damn Heisman winner because of that. This is... Hell, Oscar got out here the other day tell me how good Gunnar is. I mean, I believe anything that man tells me. So I really do think at the end of this year, Mike, and this may be a bold statement, but when we get to the end of the season, I feel like Gunnar will be a top three quarterback in this league, and people will be talking about him playing on Sunday. Yeah. No, there's a reason they should be buying in right now. You should buy any stock in Georgia right now. They're going to destroy teams.
I'm not convinced he's a top 10 quarterback in the league.
Shit. I wish we could come up with a cool bet because I would take that in a heartbeat.
Okay. Well, I would too. Hey, shout out Old Base. I love this question, Shane. What are your top five SEC games from last season specifically? And again, Shane gets these spur of the moment, so I've got a list. Would you like to go before me, or would you like to hear mine?
So top five games last year?
Yes, SEC games.
I could give you quick three real quick.
Okay.
Because it's not fair, because I'm trying to do this unbiased, but I thought Tennessee-Arkansas was phenomenal. If you're an Arkansas fan, you'll be thinking about that one for a long, long time. I feel like the Alabama-Vanderbilt game should be up there. Me personally, I love the Mizzou-Oklahoma, just the way it ended. It was absolutely special and magical. I would say the Georgia-Alabama game was really, really good. And then the fifth one, I would say South Carolina-Texas A&M.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, so you got three off mine. I put Vandy beating Bama, number one. I don't know that'll ever be topped. Bama beats Georgia. You referenced that one. Mizzou beating Oklahoma is all on my list, too. How about LSU beat South Carolina? And I think South Carolina won that game, but that was a hell of a game. Down 17-0, controversial. I mean, it had it all. That was a hell of a game. Came down to a field goal. I forgot that it came down to a field goal.
Yeah.
But I did, you know, the Netflix kind of reminded me of that. I got A&M beating LSU.
Yeah.
You forget, that was a huge game. I believe that was College Game Day. LSU got up to a big lead. A&M came storming back with Marcel Reed. That was a hell of a game, too.
What about the LSU-Ole Miss game? That was phenomenal. That was a special ending. I mean, just the way it, a walk-off touchdown. So that was a good one.
And then I also considered Kentucky beating Ole Miss, because that really was a good game, too. You got to remember that Mark Stoops, for the first time in his life, got aggressive, and it was like fourth and forever. They threw the bomb that was caught. That kind of spurred Kentucky to get that win. I believe Ole Miss got the ball back, missed a field goal to lose it. That was a hell of a game.
Yeah, Tennessee Vanderbilt. That was a fun one because they were down. They needed to get in to get a college football playoff, and Bobby a loss. So, that was a good one.
Was it? Hey, shout out Steven Up. He just gifted another. All this Bama.
Georgia,
nice talk.
Texas was a great one. I thought that was a great one. Georgia. The first one, I didn't like the SEC championship.
The first one was awful. Georgia just whooped their ass.
Yeah.
Remember they're throwing the bottles and everything?
Yeah, no, I remember. I remember.
That was a terrible game. The SEC championship was a little bit better, but not much better. Damn it. Oh, here we go.
Showing up for them boys there in Tuscaloosa. He is. It's Steven Up.
Shout out Steven Up. He gifted Feral Hogman. Feral,
welcome to the family.
And Gunner, I keep going back and forth between YouTube and here. Gunner says, hey, shut your mouth. LSU won that game, South Carolina game. Which they did in the standings. But had South Carolina not got flagged, they would have made the playoff.
South Carolina-Mizzou game was fun.
Yeah, that was another one I considered, too.
Yeah.
All right. How about this one, Shane? Magic Whip Texas. What a name. What a name. Here was some Arkansas love. We don't get a lot of Arkansas love here lately, Shane. But Magic Whip Texas asked, if Arkansas can beat Ole Miss, which I don't think that is like crazy talk, and beat Memphis, so they're going to be 4-0 to start the season. If that happens, he's saying, how will that change the conversation around Arkansas? Because I don't know about you, Shane, but if we're 4-0, all of a sudden, I think the Razorbacks got a lot of life heading into the stretch run here. And I'm not saying like a crazy playoff run or anything, but if we go 4-0, I think we can get to maybe like an 8-4 type year.
Yeah, 4-0. Yeah, Oh, man, what a schedule. Is it possible? Absolutely. I think if you got half of it already, you know, finding the four other games could be feasible here. But, man, that's a tough one. Arkansas has got their hands full, brother. I feel like.
Not that hard, Shane. They own Tennessee's ass, beat them four in a row. Auburn, we just whooped their ass on the road. We're getting them at home this time. Mississippi State, we just cruised to three. You've been saying all offseason, all we need to turn around this A&M series is get the game at home. Well, they got it at home, brother.
All right.
And then there's your four right there.
If you start out 4-0, I would say the odds of winning eight games goes up to 65% chance.
And what happens if, and I'm just using your logic, right? Where Florida sucks, Billy Napier's fired. We find out November 28th, Eli Drinkwitz is taking the Florida job. Is Mizzou showing up for that game? I don't know if they are.
Hell no, they ain't.
So there you go. There's another win.
Yeah, crown them. Crown them. Arkansas's back, baby. What do you do with Sam after 8 wins?
Give him a contract.
He's off the hot seat, right? How many wins does Sam have to be off the hot seat?
Seven.
Seven, he's off the hot seat.
I mean, because okay. That's a hell of a schedule. You said it yourself, right?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, so I think eight, but I feel like he's in trouble. But, yeah, eight stops. Seven, I feel like, cools the seat. Maybe we're not the talk, you know, at media days the following year.
Would you think he's on the hot seat if he came over to our table at media days?
Yeah, I'd say. Oh,
no, I know you. The answer would be you'd flip your narrative on that.
No, I like talking to Sam. I like being honest with Sam because he's honest with me.
Okay, hey, shout out SEC Lockdown. This is an interesting question, Shane. Which SEC team has the best chance to overperform, and which SEC team has the best chance to underperform?
Overperform is Auburn Tigers. Yep. I'm going with them. Auburn Tigers. I'm convinced that this is a football team that absolutely can be in talks about college football playoffs.
Wow.
Coming into that Iron Bowl game. I really do. It obviously starts out, you talked about Arkansas starting strong. You start out strong here, you win four games. My man, I'm telling you right now, you win those first four, there is no doubt in my mind that this will be a team that will be in conversations on November 29th about making a playoff spot.
Yeah, remember we said that when they had Cal and bullshit teams and they were losing them? We were like, they're going to cruise to 4-0.
No. It freezes back, baby. He ain't even golf anymore. I'm watching his Grant score. It's going down every day. His handicap's coming down because he is motivated down there on the plains.
Most likely to overachieve, Shane?
Yeah.
Come on, give me that Diego magic back-to-back years. I think it's Commodores because everybody's sleeping on them, and they own Hugh Freeze. They own his ass. So, you know, we're going complete opposites on this one.
And under... I'm going to go with your boys down here in the swamp. This is what did they have them at? 13, 14, somewhere around there at the coach's poll?
I can't remember.
It's up there. It's top 15. And, you know, we had a lot of talking heads that are excited about this Florida season. And they put them up on a pedestal And I mean, I feel like this thing's held together by Velcro and super glue. And if something happens with DJ, if something happens with another substantial injury down there, I'm really going to take my foot off. Everybody knows I'm off this wagon anyway, but I'm just feeling like this is
you can't get off if you've never been on.
Yeah. I ain't even looking at it anymore. I can't even see the damn thing. It's so far away. So yeah, I feel like this could be a very disappointing season for Florida.
I just looked it up. They're number 17 in the coaches' poll.
Oh, okay.
So you were very close. Shout out Tony Canada. Remember for 9 months, Shane, Arkansas not beating Tennessee at Neyland.
No, not happening.
Even though they've done
not
it.
Not on my watch. A shut couple up, times. Mike. Shut your mouth, boy.
And I think you missed it, Shane. Team that could underachieve the most?
Yeah.
Because I feel like you changed your tune. Maybe you were here. Give me Ole Miss.
Huh.
I think they're poised for a step back.
Yeah, I do, but I've already anticipating that maybe. Maybe
right,
that's
right.
Yeah, maybe that's the thing. I'm just feeling like more people are higher. I don't know. Hell, Ole Miss is up there too in the coaches' poll. So you may be right. This is one that I feel like both of these teams, it comes down to quarterback, you know. I mean, I guess that's an easy out, but if Austin Simmons is legitimate and you know, if he's as good as we think he can be, I think Ole Miss doesn't miss a beat. But I don't know. That's a lot of pressure. This is a quarterback that maybe has more pressure than we give him respect for, you know?
Right. No, I absolutely think so. You know who else probably thinks so?
Who's that?
Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn just became a member. Welcome
to the family.
We appreciate you, Matt. Hopefully he's not an Ole Miss guy, but based by his Texas hat, I don't think he is.
Yeah, he hates Ole Miss. He's even more excited to be in this family now.
Hey, shout out Cousin Rick Shane. Gave us $20 here. Da-da-da-da. I'm always trying to, here we go.
It's Texas A&M's biggest fan, Cousin Rick. Gig'em Aggies.
Thank you, Rick. Which team is the best bet taking Vegas odds each week? Who will cover the spread? I routinely play my money betting on the Aggies. No respect can pay off. Bait the hell at a Notre Dame. I always have felt, Shane, that the safest money is betting against Tennessee.
Damn.
Doesn't it seem like they always, like, wherever you're convinced they're going to cover it, it seems like they never do.
I think you could go back to the first question the last question we asked, which team do you think overperforms? Because naturally they're going to be the bet favorite. You know what I'm saying? It's a team that maybe starts out slow. By slow, what I mean by is they're not favored by 14 points, but they're favored by 8. You know what I'm saying? It's like you start seeing these numbers really change by week 5, week 6. So I'm going to stick with my Auburn Tigers. I do feel like this is a team that, I mean, hell, Baylor's already the favorite. You know what I'm saying? I do think that it's going to take a few games to convince Vegas that they should start switching these spreads. But yeah, that's where I'm going.
Hey, shout out Nick. This was a good one we didn't think about. Mississippi State in the category of possible overachiever. Because the bar's so low, you know, that they could be one.
Yeah.
And they added all these transfers. I'm just saying that's one to consider.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know what else is a good one, Shane?
What's that?
I think you're gonna like this. I don't know if you'll agree to it, but the anchor man. He's a Vandy fan, of course. Since Cousin Shane is so confident on the under on Vanderbilt, is he willing to walk, so the answer's probably already no, 2 miles for every game Vanderbilt goes over? So the over-under is 4.5. So he's saying for every win they go over, you got to walk 2 miles.
2 miles.
If you're that confident, I mean, hell, they're not going to, even if Vanderbilt went 10-2, you'd only have to walk. What? 12 miles.
just 12 miles.
They're not going 10 to 2, though. I don't even know if Diego Pavia believes that.
What do I get in return? I don't want to just bet.
Well, because you're so confident. You've been down, you've been bagging Vanderbilt like no other.
Damn. Why is it we always got to do walking bets or healthy bets? Why can't we do something unhealthy? You know,
drinking milk.
Yeah,
drink Old milk. Mace says you get health.
Yeah, maybe I do get ready for some of that hot yoga or something. You know, like Pavia did. Damn, that's a good one.
And Tim says, I don't know what he's referencing here, but he says, "Come on, Mike, you talk the talk, walk the walk."
Maybe
I got to walk it with you, but I think they're going over.
Why don't we do this? You think they'll go over, right?
Yeah.
So let's pick a number. Let's say 6. So if they're less than 6, you do 2 miles. So if they win 4 games, that means you do 4 miles. If they win 8 games, then I do 4 miles. You see what I'm saying? I mean, if you're confident.
I thought the over-under was 4.5. Why are we doing 6 now?
Because you're super confident. I'm not. I'm never confident in bets. Oh, okay. Let's say 5. Let's do 5.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 5.
Oh, yeah.
5.
They're going to smash the over.
Okay. Well, if they do, then I'll do 2 miles for each one they go over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this isn't bowl games or anything like that. This is just regular season.
Don't even need them.
But if it's less than 5, you got to do it.
If the over-under is 4.5, I mean, yeah, then if they make a bowl game, it's already, they've got the over.
Okay, perfect. All right, deal, deal. Save it. Save it, cuz. I ain't walking nowhere.
Hey, shout out this one. Now, this one I know you'll like. Shout out Benjamin, cousin Benjamin Tiller. He wants to know, Shane, if Tennessee goes 10-2,
yeah,
should Josh Heupel get coach of the year?
Hell yeah, he should. Given the situation about losing
with
your
this schedule,
holy gosh! See, that's what happens.
That's you pulling one upset.
Yeah, it happens every time. As soon as something happens to another team, it's like, well, look at the schedule. Or look at their, you know, whatever.
You sound like a Mizzou fan.
No, I'm just saying 10-2 and back to the college football playoff.
Why does everyone talk about our schedule?
Oh, shit. Give him coach of the year. Give him coach of the year.
Yeah, you might be right. I'm just giving you hell. All right, how about this one, Shane? OT Pedro, I love this question. This might be my favorite one, Shane. And this is the final one before we get to the food here. If you had to pick one, who wins an SEC championship first? Clark Lee at Vanderbilt or Hugh Freeze at Auburn?
Hugh Freeze.
I love it because the answer is Clark Lee. Because I think old Hugh, I think he's getting fired. So if he don't win it this year, I don't think he's ever going to have another opportunity. Meanwhile, I think Clark Lee, he's got a lifetime contract here at Vanderbilt. So no. I really don't think Clark Lee will ever do it.
Yeah.
But he's going to have multiple years to get that.
Yeah, you give me Hugh Freeze still. Yeah. And then if he does, you got to change his photo. You got to take off the Sasquatch one. You know, he looks like he's Bigfoot walking through the woods.
All right, shut up. Daddy B Talk, Shane. We got multiple food questions here for you.
Yeah. Yes.
What is Cousin Shane's dream Cracker Barrel? And it says final meal. So that's kind of ominous. I don't know why it's your final meal, but I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, walk in. First thing Cracker Barrel needs to do, which they don't do anymore, which is stupid, they need to bring my biscuit. So I got to have a biscuit, and it's got to have blackberry jelly. That's number one. That's how we start this meal.
Right.
Then, I mean, I gave you a rundown on the last SEC hangover, my favorite meals, but if it's my last meal, I'm going to be more concerned about the items that are on my plate. So that would include country fried steak, probably the best cut of meat that they got back there, with sawmill gravy on top, a side of mashed potatoes with the same gravy, the potato casserole. Is also going to be on the plate here. Getting kind of full now, so you think I'm done, but they make a fantastic pancake with pecans in it, and they've got a pecan syrup, so I want one of those on the side as my dessert, if you will.
Shane's last meal, y'all.
It is last meal.
I knew you'd love that. All right, how about this from Cousin Trey Tucker? Uh-huh. He always asks the best questions here about food here. Best meal grandma cooked?
Oh, man. I love mamma's cooking. So, you know, it's funny because we've had conversations about last meal, like not death row, but yeah, I guess it kind of was. Like, what would be your last meal?
Hold on. I'm sorry. Cousin Donald, real quick. Cracker Barrel's closing. Shane's not dying. Just for people to know. That was too good not to share.
So, Mama, she would make this. Rest in peace, Mama. I would give everything I have to have one more meal over at her house. But to pick one meal, she made this scalloped potato ham thing. You remember that casserole meal she'd make? It's phenomenal. She'd make pierogies. So I would take, I mean, this doesn't make sense, the meal, but these are just a couple, it's kind of like the Cracker Barrel question. So she'd make those pierogies. They were just out of this world. And then last but not least, what are we finishing it off with, Mike?
Cheesecake.
Chocolate cheesecake. And I love my mama. My mama, she would take the cheesecake recipe, and she would use like a block of regular cheese, cream cheese, and then like a block of the 1/3 fat. And she would literally tell me that it's better for you. It's healthier, because it's probably why I'm fat, Mama, because it's got the third less. But even though it had a layer of this thick chocolate on the top, you know, but yeah, without a doubt. Besides the Sunday typical meal that she would make with the roast, I would say those are some of the items I would choose.
Yeah. All right. How about best meal your mom cooks?
Oh, mom. Mom made, she made killer chili. So I would just say a big, and that, I can't wait for this weather, but chili. I mean, she'd use we had Bush's baked beans right here in Dandridge, Tennessee. And so it was always a staple at our house, but you could not beat a good bowl of beef chili.
Yeah, and shout out to Cousin Patrick. He said, hey, Shane, Polish got some pierogies. We know all about the pierogies, don't we?
Yeah, my mama's Polish, that's for sure, man. Hold the Pollock jokes to the end.
And then the best meal you cook, Shane.
Oh, best meal I cook. Oh, that's a really good question. I make a really good steak, but if I had to pick my favorite, I would probably say my mom's
beans?
Chili.
Okay.
Oh, no, the beans. That's a good one. Yeah, yeah. My baked beans, and that comes with, it's a secret recipe. It's the Shane recipe, but the baked beans is a meal on its own. Baked beans, sausage. I've kind of tweaked it through the years. This last time was phenomenal. Spicy sausage was the move.
Putting Shane's beans in my mouth was the highlight of 4th of July. All right, then last one here from Cousin Trey. What meal at any familiar member? What meal at any? I think he says, what meal at any family members that when it was served to you knew it was going to be a long night?
Say it one more time.
It's a little confusing. What meal at any familiar members that when it was served to you knew it was going to be a long night?
I will say this, and I love my mammal to death. The one thing I hated was stuffed peppers.
You don't like those?
Hell no. Those are terrible.
My mom still makes those. I think they're delicious.
No, those are so bad. No.
Is it just because it's a vegetable?
Yeah, probably. Most likely.
You don't like peppers? Not even like fajitas?
No, I do like, not really. No, not to mention it. I like a good, you know, salsa, but I don't like, it's the texture thing for me. I'm not a big fan of that texture for some reason.
What about the meat on the inside? Surely you like that.
Never ate it. When it happened, I'd rather eat a bowl of cereal than eat that.
You could take the meat out. It's just meat.
It touched it.
And rice.
I'm a kid, man. I was a kid when these things were being made. And now that's one of the reasons I cook in this house, because I don't cook stuffed peppers. I don't cook shit I don't want to eat. You know what I'm saying? So that's one of the main reasons that I like to cook over here. But I will say this, and I'm not going to call him out, but my brother-in-law came over. I made this wonderful pork tenderloin. And I mean, nothing's worse than when you work really hard on a piece of meat and that you grill, and they want barbecue sauce. It's like, you know, I hope he's not watching, but that one really, I knew it was going to be a long night when I spent 2 days marinating this bastard, you know, so that we didn't need additional condiments. And first thing you want is sweet baby Ray's in the. It's like, come on.
Does it take away your enjoyment when someone else wants it a little different?
Brother, when you grill and you work hard on something, if it's not enjoyed, then it's just, yeah, it sucks.
But maybe he enjoyed it with the barbecue.
I'll give you another example, too. I made, I bought a whole New York tenderloin, or a tenderloin. So I cut these up in these huge fillets. And you ever heard of sous vide? That's basically you put it in a bag, you put it in water at a certain temperature. So I did this whole thing, right? And I mean, it took so long because I had a whole family over. And I timed it perfect, and I oversalted the tenderloin. It was almost it was so bad because it was so salty. That one was probably the lowest of lows for me. That was, I never used a sous vide after that. I said, I'm done. It's over. It.
What was worse, that or walking after Florida beat Tennessee?
Oh, walking, absolutely. And if Vanderbilt goes on a tear, I may just leave forever.
Hey, shout out, in your middle of all your food rant, Shane, Royce Hell Pierce yeah. gave us $100.
Thank you, man. Appreciate
Thank you, Royce. Man, I feel lucky. I got to catch you guys live again. Not sure how to gift memberships for my phone, but here's some damn money anyways.
Hell yeah.
Go Tigers. You know what, Shane? I think I'm dead wrong about LSU. They're winning the national championship.
Say
you know
something
what?
Good about Coach Kelly right now.
I think he is a damn genius, and he's building LSU into a damn powerhouse, and I think he's got the right defensive coordinator now to take the Tigers to the top, and he's probably Hell got the yeah. best damn quarterback in the country.
I love it, man. I love it. Thank you, cuz. Appreciate it.
Hey, in the middle of all that, too, I'm trying to find it. Geez Louise, I think it was, said, oh, man, Shane. Yeah, Shane is so venting when you were talking about the steak and your brother-in-law.
Yeah, no, that was personal. I like Geez Louise here. Paula Shane Dean, and I will say this: I got some of Paula's recipes. I did. She has got a fantastic buttermilk fried okra. Oh my gosh, out of this world! So, shout out to her.
She's got a restaurant right down the street here from where I live. I've never been
Terrible.
There.
Terrible. Don't do the restaurant.
Wait, you just said it was good. I'm confused.
It's not Paula's. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you would have went to the old restaurant she had down in Savannah, that was a little bit more authentic. This is like
a chain of her stuff.
It's good food, but it's almost like a cafeteria style, in my opinion. The price was just too much. And there's an escalator to the one in the Pigeon Forge. And I was like, I know why they put this damn escalator in here now. Cause you crush it. It's family style. So they'll bring you as much as you want. But it was a miss for me.
Okay.
Their
well, like I said,
cake was good.
But I never been. So I probably never will after that review from you. If Shane don't like it, that tells me a lot.
Again, it's about cost and like time. I don't want to wait too long. If it's beyond an hour, it better be freaking phenomenal. And the cost, if the cost is too high, it takes away from, like, if I would have ate that meal at Paula Deen's at a random restaurant off the interstate, I would have said, dude, got to check this out. But because it's Paula's and the price, I was just like, nah, it's just not worth it.
Cousin Patrick Clark says, I'm getting diabetes as we speak. Where's the
Oh, shit. I seen one here talking about fried green tomatoes. We went at that Granger County Tomato Festival. Phenomenal fried green tomatoes up there.
Mm. That's another thing. I don't know that I've really had a good one.
Really? Oh, man. Now, my wife, she can make a mean fried green tomato. So she just don't like to cook them because it takes forever.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, buddy, before we hop off the line?
Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to just talk food for 30 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. No, we'll be on tomorrow for the SEC hangover. And I appreciate all the cousins hitting the thumbs up. I see Steven giving the shout out there. I appreciate all the cousins becoming family members. I love seeing this family grow right here before season kicks off. And, of course, big shout out to JP going through the effort. I mean, the man works tirelessly, not just the sound clips, but he's also keeping up with all this. Today's legends are Stephen Up, Robert Jenkins, BB, Colin Coxman, Slap Nuts, Tennessee Legend, Jordan B, Ashley Schaefer, Seamus, Jeet Cock Vinny, Mr. Sip, John Jeffries, Cuz Lou, Liquid, Rick, and Royce. Appreciate all of you for keeping the lights on.
Absolutely. And again, so Shane's got the morning show, and then later in the afternoon, we're going to have interview with Chris Lowe, ESPN. Yes. And then Saturday, another interview of Brett Ciancia, Pick Six Preview. He's going to preview all 16 SEC teams with his latest Pick Six Previews magazine. So absolutely loaded weekend. And then we'll be back on Sunday for the next live show together. So, man, we got you locked and loaded. College football right around the corner. There's going to be all kinds of updates. Shane, scrimmages this weekend all across the SEC. So there's going to be a lot to react to. Stay locked in on the channel. Like, subscribe, please share. That's the best way to help us grow. We appreciate each and every one of you, and we'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.